have a prophetic and landmark message. It's actually a build up of a lot of messages we've been hearing in recent times, and it is to encourage and inspire us to what God is about to manifest in the earth. And I've entitled it Glory, Wisdom, and Riches. Interestingly, it perfectly dovetails with Pastor Wigger's Bible study this morning. And I had actually prepared this message before I got his Bible study, so I was tickled, you know, to see how God was just coordinating things. Shall we bow to pray? Father, we come in Jesus' name. We enter your word with the reverence that it deserves. We're fully conscious of our human limitations to deliver as well as to receive your infinite wisdom that has been compressed into this written word. We recognize we need your help. And so we ask that you come and help us. In particular, anoint me afresh that I would speak as I should as an oracle of God. And put the same unction and anointing upon the ears and the hearts of everybody that will hear me. Lord God, and those who are here physically and those who will hear me remotely, electronically, this word will have free course from you through me to the people to do an eternal work in every heart, including my own, causing our wills to become more humble, our minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, and our emotions to be more controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray as I speak, the power of the Spirit of God be released in more than sufficient measure to follow these words and to back them wherever they are heard in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes. Yes, power that will free men so that they will become doers of the things which they hear and not hearers only. We further pray for mercy to be faithful as I deliver the word, that I might do it with precision, redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And all those in agreement with that prayer, receiving the blessing in their individual life, said, amen. Glory, wisdom, and riches. Like I said, this message is a build-up of messages we've been hearing. It is prophetic in the sense that some of the things I will be saying are not yet in physical manifestation, but they are imminent. This is very similar to what the Lord Jesus did when he was here. Jesus taught prophetically a lot of the time. Many of the things he was teaching were not available at the time he was saying them. But then they became available some year later, 3 years later. Some things came 40 years later, you know. But, you know, he taught them, you know, at that time. In the same way, we're teaching prophetically. Some of these things are not yet in physical manifestation. Some of them are. Some of them we're already seeing. In fact, practically all of them, we've seen the blade. What the Bible calls the blade, the air, and the full corn in the air. You know, in other words, we've seen a first fruits of it. We've seen a little bit of it. But we haven't seen it in its full manifestation. And these prophetic messages are to inspire and to encourage us. Something happened to me yesterday. Dr. Maria and his wife, Femi, they just came to say hello to me. And I was sharing with them. We were just talking. And I was sharing with them about, you know, what the Lord was doing with me, you know, in my life. Particularly in the area of knowledge and physics and all of these things. And I said this to them, and I'm saying it to all of us, that's why I'm bringing it up, you know, that it's the manifestation of the fullness of the Spirit without measure in our minds that will now wrap up so many things. A lot of knowledge is scattered. I said, on the spiritual plane, by the mercy and the grace of God, for me as a person, as an individual, and I don't know about others, but you know, I can speak for myself to the glory of God. And please, I do not want to be misunderstood. I certainly do not know everything yet. But by the grace of God, I have epignosis of the purpose of God. I understand to the glory of God the purpose of God from the new birth right under the perfection of the fullness of Christ, you know, and what God's purpose and plan is for this age. That's clear to me. I don't have any... Now, details of that I don't know yet, and those will keep unfolding, like I explained last week when I taught about epignosis. And it was when later on when I went back home, and as I was thinking about this, I shared with them last night, and I, you know, meditating on it, you know, epignosis just means complete knowledge in principle. For instance, let me give example. Take something like prosperity. There's an epignosis for prosperity. That is why, by the grace of God, in this church over the years, I have not had to, you know, stray. The prosperity message is very simple. The complete knowledge of it is simply this: you sow by giving, you water by praying and walking in the Spirit, and you harvest by investing and doing things God can bless. Basically, that's it. There's nothing outside that. Every other thing is some variation of that, or, you know, is inside it. There's epignosis concerning healing. You know, it's the will of God that we are healed. I shared this on Wednesday when I was teaching, you know, about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's always God's will to heal. Always. There's no doubt about that. Now, I know not everybody is healed, but that does not change the will of God. Is this clear? You know, it's always the will of God that everybody be healed. Just like it's always the will of God that everybody be saved. It's the will of God that everybody, he said, God is not willing that any should perish. He will have all men to come to a knowledge of the truth. But sadly, in experience, we find that it is not all who are saved. Now, that's not because it's not the will of God. That has to do now with the stubbornness and the rebellion and the disobedience of men. So it is with healing. It is always God's will for you to be healed. Don't ever doubt it. It is never the will of God for you to be sick. Never. Now, if you're in some level of disobedience, or you've done some things you shouldn't have done, and it's accumulated over time, it may be the permissive will of God for sickness to come so that you might die and go to heaven. God does those things. But that's not his will. You see, we have to... This epignosis, I'm speaking from a background of complete knowledge. It's the will of God that we are healed, you know. Not only that are we healed, though that we live in divine healing and health. That means not only does God want us, he doesn't want us to be sick. Not his will at all. Doesn't want us to be sick at all. Now, we do get sick. I am aware of that. But why do we get sick? Because many times we break the laws. And when we say laws, now we're not only talking about moral laws like adultery and fornication, which are there, and stealing and lying and all of those things, unforgiveness. But they also, do you know that there are laws, and I shared this, I think, last week or the week before. There are laws of hygiene. There are laws of diet. There are laws of exercise. Why are they laws? Because they're in the Word. They're in the Torah. The Torah is called the law. The Torah, for those of us who don't have a strong Jewish background, is simply the first, the first five books of Moses. That is from Genesis to Deuteronomy. The Hebrews call it the Torah. That's called the law. Then everything from Joshua right up to Malachi is called the prophets. So that's why Jesus said, I did not come to destroy the law, books of Moses, and then the prophets, which is what all the others wrote, you know, up to the end, on to Malachi. So in the law, it is written of what you eat. It's written about, you know, hygiene, wash your hands, and all of those things. You know, it's why did God make them laws? Because if he didn't make them laws, you know, having 3 million people inside a desert without any kind of no modern medicine of today and all of those things, there would have been an epidemic. So that's why God made it a law. If you didn't do those things, you disobeyed the law. And when you disobey the law, you get sick. He said, therefore, hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, and be careful to do all these commandments. He said, then I will not allow the disease of the Egyptians to come upon you, for my name is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth us. It's always the will of God. Always. That's complete knowledge. It's always the will of God. And he wants us to enjoy divine healing, divine health. If you need to use medicine, we see that in Hezekiah. He put lumps on the boil, you know. And we know it was not the lumps that healed him, because he had the lumps before and he still was sick and was going to die. It was the medicine, the lumps, the figs, plus the power of God that came out of the mouth of the prophet that got him healed. So when we say complete, it doesn't mean we know everything, but in a nutshell, we understand and we know that it's the will of God, you know, for us to be healed and to live in divine health. Same with prosperity. It's the will of God for us to be rich. Now, we're not going to get rich overnight, but over our lifetime, God wants us to be rich. Over some years, as we develop our spiritual character, it's not the will of God for us to be poor. It's not the will of God for us to lack. These are fundamental truths that are inside the Bible. Some Christians still have problems with, you know, whether it's the will of God or not the will of God, or whether God wants to do it or God doesn't want. But let me settle your mind. All these things are always the will of God. You know, and the scriptures are very clear. And when you have personal revelation, epignosis, complete knowledge, revelation knowledge of these principles, you know, it settles you as a Christian. You know, you're not running from pillar to post. You're not tossed around by every wind of doctrine. And, excuse me, that's the will of God. And, you know, in recent times, we shared this year about the blood moon and the manifestation, the Feast of Tabernacles. All those things, you know, we see how God has fulfilled his word, you know. However, we have not seen the manifestation of these things in their fullness yet. And something happened to me. I want to share the testimony and then get into the message. In my heart, I was even sharing this with Pastor Guiga, you know, God, this thing has to come. You know. And the Lord sent a word to me this morning. It spoke so encouragingly to my heart. And I want to share it with us. It's in Isaiah chapter 35 verse 4. In fact, the whole of Isaiah 35 is a great prophetic word for us, the end time Christian. And incidentally, even the choir hit on it today, you know, in their ministration. The scripture Pastor Andrew read before they ministered on the David Ingalls song on Put on the Garment of Praise, Take on the Spirit of Heaviness. And it's in that same spirit the Lord spoke to me. And so I'm saying it to you because he told me to share it with you. Verse 4, there's a lot, but you know, because of time. It says, say to those who have a fearful heart and a hasty heart. Everyone say hasty heart. Say hasty heart. And told you, it was a he that believeth shall not make haste. Then say hasty heart. Then say hasty heart. Then look at anybody and say, though it tarry, wait for it. You can't afford a hasty heart. Hello, somebody. So God's talking to us. Ah, Lord, this thing. Say to them that are fearful and hasty, be strong. I didn't hear you. Fear not. Behold. Your God will come with what? Vengeance. That's what Isaiah said. He said, the day of the vengeance of our God. The Jubilee. You know. And with what? Recompense of God. He will come and he will save you. So God spoke this word to my heart. He said, say to them, don't be of a hasty heart. Behold, your God will come. They will say, this is our God. We have waited for him. And he will not only just come, he will come with vengeance. Vengeance against the house of Saul and all the disobedient parts of the church. You know, and he will come and he will save you. Save you, that doesn't mean born again. You're already born again. He's talking about redemption of the body, redemption of the brain, redemption of the mind. You know, this full salvation of which we speak. And, you know, God, you know, this really, really, it encouraged me, and I believe it will encourage you. And so, this message, glory, wisdom, and riches, is a prophetic landmark message. Let us start by defining our terms. The glory of God is a manifestation, or the manifestation, it's not just a one-time thing, something that's going to be continuous, of the Spirit without measure. For instance, you know, the Bible says Jesus turned water to wine and manifested his glory. I shared this before, but it bears repetition. You know, the Spirit without measure was actually released the day Jesus was baptized by John. The Bible says so. He said, I saw the Spirit come upon him. But nothing happened. There was no, the only two significant things was this prophetic word was given and the heavens opened. There was a sign in the heavens and there was a sign of the word. And the same thing in our own generation now, you know, we've had the sign of the heavens of the blood moons and we've had the prophetic word come, you know, concerning the Feast of Tabernacles and the fullness of Christ. But nothing happened. For we don't know how many days, but certainly we know it's over 40 days because he went for the 40-day fast, came back. And it was when he came back, he chose his first disciples, heard him, Andrew and John, and followed him. And then a few days later, the Bible doesn't tell us how many. You know, it tells us from the day, we don't know how many days it was after the 40-day fast, but we know it's the third day from the day John spoke. God baptized, and the next day, and then the third day, there was a feast in Cana of Galilee. So, anyway, the important thing is the glory of God is a manifestation of the Spirit without measure. We see this also in Lazarus. When he raised Lazarus from dead, he told Mary and Martha, he said, "Did I not tell you that if you will believe, you will see the glory of God?" And that's what they saw. When Lazarus came out of that tomb, after 4 days, jumping out with all the bandages and everything, they saw the glory of God. And so, the glory of God is a manifestation of the Spirit without measure. Everybody say, the glory of God is a manifestation of the Spirit without measure. Now, the next thing is wisdom. The wisdom of God is going to be a consequence of that glory. When the Spirit of God, when the Spirit without measure is a manifestation, it will affect our mind and give us what I've shared before, you know, incredible photographic memory, incredible language learning skills. We already have the earnest of that. We already have the first of that in speaking in tongues. We already got it, you know, but that's just a very small part of it. But we want to see a greater degree of that, you know. Artistic ability, mathematical ability, musical ability, incredible ones, as has been seen and observed. These are not pie in the sky. They've been observed in autistic savants, but they have the downside of one problem or the other. But this will not have any side effect because it's the fullness of the mind of Christ. And it will lead to political, intellectual, physical, political, intellectual, economic, and environmental miracles. Just on the sideline, you know, I didn't, you know, it was when I was preparing the message this morning as I was praying, it just hit me. You know, they just had a conference in Paris yesterday, and they signed 196 nations. They signed an agreement to try and reduce climate global warming, excuse me, you know, climatic change, you know, it's a big problem. It's a big, big, big problem. So we have environmental problems they're trying to solve. You know, they're trying to balance the need for energy with also the need to look after the environment. And so, you know, because most of the energy we get is from coal and carbon. It releases a lot of carbon dioxide, you know, which goes into the atmosphere, and then it hits the thing, comes back, and gets the earth heated. We call it a greenhouse effect. You know, right on the other hand, if you don't use it, Where are you going to get the energy from to run all the cars and all the electricity and everything that we have? You know, so scientifically right now as I speak, there's a lot of research that's going on. I'm even doing a small part of it too, personally, you know, to try and find alternative methods, you know, that they call them clean energy sources that will not pollute the atmosphere. Things like solar energy, for instance, you know, and wind and turbine. But the problem with those things is that they're good, you know, but it is that the amount of energy that they give us, you know, per unit mass is very, very small. So the amount of, if I take 1 kilogram of coal, the amount of energy I'm going to get out of it is far greater than if I took 1 kilogram of graphene or silicon or whatever I use to make my solar cell. So I have, there's a trade-off. You know, I have to, well, I can't stop using the petrol and the coal and all of that. And at the same time, I have to try and, you know, look for, we need a scientific breakthrough. We need a scientific breakthrough. You know, I was reading, I subscribe to, and I get on a weekly basis, I get it by internet, you know, The New Scientist. I've been doing that for years. You know, and one of the latest editions, you know, was actually two of them. That's very, very interesting. One of them says, Einstein's unfinished masterpiece. Now, about Einstein, he did a lot of theory, but it's not finished. Everybody knows that. Nobody knows how to move and finish that thing. And I believe that the answer is in God. There's only God that can reveal it. You know, there's another article they did. They said, you know, how to make your brain work smarter. This is what we're talking about here. You know, the fullness of the mind of Christ. They're looking for, they recognize the challenges and they're looking for solutions in the natural. But the solutions are not in the natural. They're with God. And that's where the church needs to step in. So we need the wisdom of God, the glory of God that is manifest, will now manifest not only in physical miracles like healing the sick and all of that, but will also manifest in the mind, so that the mind will now have this fullness of the mind of Christ, this incredible, I call it PLAM, that's an acronym for it. You know, incredible photographic language. Put that thing on the board. I think we have it. You know, I just want to look at it briefly and then go to scripture. Aha, here it is. You know, mnemonics for the characteristics of the spirit without measure. You know, incredible photo. Everybody say incredible photographic memory. Incredible language learning abilities. Incredible artistic abilities. Incredible musical abilities. Incredible mathematical skills, all in one mind. That's what God is like. That's the full meaning of this scripture, that you might be partakers of the divine nature. That's what God had at the back of his mind. When the Bible says that the life of God be made manifest in our mortal flesh, as I speak now, as you're sitting down there, if you're born again and you're spirit-filled and you speak in tongues, the life of God has been made manifest in your mortal flesh. Hello? Tongues is a manifestation of the life of God in your mortal flesh. Because tongues is supernatural and it's coming through this physical body. Do you understand that it's still mortal? Is this clear? That's why I said some of this is not totally prophetic. Some of it is already happening. You know? There is a manifestation as I speak. There is a manifestation. When you are healed in your body, supernaturally, when the life of God flows into your flesh, that's a manifestation. That's the life of God being made manifest in your mortal flesh. Hello. But it's just the tip of the iceberg. Is this clear? It's the earnest. It's the down. It's just the, it's the deposit. Now, what we want to see is have it in its fullness. You speak in tongues and you're healed. Do you understand? You get revelation knowledge. But it's all inside you. Nobody else on the outside can see it. Christians like me and you can appreciate it. If I preach and I share and I talk. But the unbeliever who is looking at you doesn't see any difference between you and the next guy. But when you have incredible photographic memory, incredible language learning abilities, incredible artistic, they will listen.
Are you listening to me? That one, you can't hide it. The one we have now, the earnest is there. You know, they hear you speaking tongues, they just say you're thinking wrong, you're talking rubbish. And the other thing is some stupid fanatic. You know, and to them it's nothing, you know, because they don't understand what you're saying. So to you it's supernatural, to you it's precious, but to them, you know. But when you speak Hebrew and you speak Greek and you speak Icelandic and you speak Russian, all in one, phew, then you get their attention. That's what's coming. That's why I said that's the prophetic part of it. Are you listening to me? So these things, you know, it's going to give us the wisdom of God. Now, go back to the scripture. This wisdom of God of which we speak, that's why I've entitled the message, Glory, Wisdom, and Riches. It's all sequential. The glory will lead to the wisdom. Now, look at Proverbs chapter 8, verse 12. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 12. This scripture captures the essence of this ability of the mind of Christ and what it produces. I, wisdom, dwell with what? And find out knowledge of what? Witty. I like this. It's Old English. That's why I get the word wit. You know, say somebody's a very witty fellow. It means somebody who has, you know, very sagacious. Is somebody who's his mind is very active. You know, witty inventions. This ability of the mind of Christ will give the church knowledge of witty inventions. I don't know the fullness of this yet. I know it in principle, but in the detail, I don't know yet. All kinds of ideas have been buzzing in my mind. You know, and not just me, and even people who are not even Christians. You know, all kinds of things just occur. And then you say, oh, can that ever happen? And I've shared my testimony that when I was a kid, here in UI, I used to dream of a desktop computer. But I never took it seriously. I also, you know, because we had one big computer in computer science, and I used to have to walk there every night. I'd be coming back from around 11 o'clock at night, you know, typing on the computer and programming. And I'll be, as I'm going home, my mind is, I'm going through the computer program mentally to see if I made any mistake. Because if you make any mistake, it's going to throw it out. And I made many mistakes. So there was frustration. You know, and I say, oh my God, if only I could have a computer in my room. But of course, I knew that was impossible. That's what I thought. In 1976, I thought, well, you know, how can you have a computer in your room? Come on, forget that. Don't be silly. Not knowing that barely 10 years down the road, it will become a reality. I believe the same things are happening now. That God will give witty inventions, knowledge of witty inventions to Christians in different areas of human endeavor. That things, problems men have thought were impossible to solve. Things that we have thought were, oh, how can this ever be? Will become reality through the wisdom that God will give. This in turn, this knowledge of witty inventions will now lead to riches. See, now we haven't seen money yet. Too. All this money we've seen now is just we're just scratching the surface. We haven't seen the kind of money God wants us to have yet. Look at Proverbs chapter 8, that same chapter, Proverbs chapter 8, then go down to verse 18 to 21. And you see, Pastor G, you can see now that this Proverbs chapter 8 is prophetic. Do you understand? I, wisdom. It's prophetic. It's not about Jesus. Jesus is the wisdom of God that would never be made manifest through us. That we might, manifold wisdom of God might be made manifest through the church. So he said, I, wisdom. I dwell. You know, I have found knowledge of witty inventions. I, wisdom. We scratch the surface of it, but we have not seen the fullness of it. Look at what wisdom does. Say riches. I remember one riches here. It's very interesting that he uses, I like that word. There was, when I was a kid, some of you probably will know this. You know, some people may not know, but some will know it. There used to be this comic we used to read, Richie Rich. Not because it was fantasy. You understand? It was about the little boy who was, whose daddy was a multi billionaire, you know, and he got Richie Rich. I still remember, you know, and he could afford it, but he was a very nice boy, you know. It was just a comic, this thing, you know. I like the word riches. It's even more powerful than wealth. You know, when you say riches, you're talking about real money. How do our people call it? Really money. Riches. Riches. Everybody open your mouth.
Riches.
That means what you say that you will get. Say riches. And honor are with me. Not the rest, are they with you? They are with me. I say riches and honor are with me. If you like, reject it. I say riches and honor are with me. Exactly. Now, it's not any type of riches, though. Look at how it qualifies it. Yea, what? Durable. It means that there are some riches that are not durable. There are some riches that after some time, they will just disappear. That's, you see, the riches you should not get with the wisdom of God. Now, backtrack. Backtrack. See, where were we coming from? Glory. Glory, wisdom, riches. It is the glory that gives the wisdom, that gives the riches that is durable. It's not just any riches that is durable. Is it clear? You have to see the connection. Hello, somebody. So I say wisdom, riches, or rather glory, wisdom, and riches. Durable what? Riches. Everybody say durable riches. And what? So there's not going to be riches of people who are not, you know, who are living in sin and who don't believe God and who are homosexual and all this rubbish. Because that's the one we're seeing now. They're seeing the riches of the world now. And they're slapping us in the face with it. Not literally, figuratively. You know what they're saying? Where's your God? Ah! I don't know about you, but I'm jealous for God. I'm like David. Remember when David heard what Goliath? I don't know how many Christians feel like that. You know, the whole of Israel were hearing him. They heard him for 40 days. The champion of the Philistines. And he came out and he was talking and they were afraid. Nobody was angry. They were only afraid. You know the same thing today? The Goliaths of this world. Look at even Nigeria here. You go and take the top Forbes 50. You won't find any born again there. With all our nonsense, our noise, and our prosperity message, and our lies, and our schemes, you know, the slight of men in cunning craftiness, with all our craftiness and everything, we can't even enter Forbes 100. How many people know what Forbes 100 is? We need an education. Hello? There's this man in America, his name is Forbes. He has a magazine, you know, and every year he does an analysis of the richest men in the world. So they will write the list. They will first of all do the first 10, they do the first 50, who's the first 100. Someone like Dangote, you know, is I think he's number 20 something or 40 something. He's first in Nigeria, but first in Nigeria and first in Africa. But when you come to the big boys, you know, I don't know what he is. I think he's 20 something, you know. 20, 40 something. Isn't his dad back? Oh my God. You know, because of the devaluation of the Naira, he's gone back to, you know. But in that first 10 or first 40, how many born again, tongue talking Christians are there? None. None. Yeah, the Bible says we'll be head and not tail. Something is wrong. This is something I've been thinking for years. None of us is there. We're not poor. We can eat, we can wear nice clothes, we can do, some of us have private jets. Okay. It's okay. There's nothing wrong in it. Amen. Praise the Lord. But we haven't even scratched the surface of where God is taking us. Hence this message. That's why it's a prophetic message. Real riches. But it's the kind of riches that can only come through the knowledge of witty inventions. I know I have a little bit about the history of science, and you know, I'm a great one for history. You know, I'm just using it as an illustration. You know, what made Bill Gates the richest man in the world? And he's been there for over 30 years now. He's a good man. You know, he has a good heart. I think he's like a Cornelius. Amen. He's a very nice guy. You know, he's always looking after other people. You know, he's always looking for the poor. And so God's blessing him because of his heart. But, you know, it was a knowledge of a witty invention. He gave to us what everybody needed. A computer on your table. Obviously, it's God who gave it to him. You know, he may not know that. But somehow, the wisdom of God, you know, and of course, Steve Jobs, who's dead now, you know, the guy in Apple, they were all friends. You know, all Plano. They dropped out of school. They were in Harvard. You know, they dropped out of Harvard. It was Harvard. He didn't finish his degree. You know, they had this thing at the back of their house, garage. They all playing around. And he just had this idea, look, we can write a software, you know, that will not be as complicated as the one we use on these micro and mainframe computers, that you can use on a small computer. Disk operating system. DOS. D-O-S. He wrote the thing, and I was good begging people. When I was in Imperial College, that was 1980. Bill Gates was knocking on the door, begging. Who would buy it? People just... So he finally got to IBM, you know, and some intelligent fellow, see, so this young man, all he's saying is interesting. And IBM was developing the IBM PC. So IBM said, look, wait. We two were doing a desktop computer. Bring your software. All right? So you will put the software on our computer. Then we have a deal. For every software that is on our computer, you get a percentage. The rest is history. Today, he's richer than IBM. But you see, it was an idea. Now, I want to say this, Pastor G. This is prophetic. And that we take this from Joseph. You see, God will give you an idea. He will give you a knowledge of witty invention that will cut across the human race. That everybody will need. That's where money, real money, is made. Everybody on the planet is giving something to Bill Gates every day. For every window, for every computer you buy, you know, for every your some money is going to him. That's the kind of money that never finishes. It keeps, you know, every day you're using people are always putting Windows on computers. Same with Apple. Like everybody has iPhone now. So by the time you know, when you do the multiplier effect, what made Joseph? Everybody came to buy from Joseph. That is where real wealth, this kind of riches, is created. God will give an idea. Something. It may not be anything spectacular, folks. That's where the wisdom of God comes. You know, most people are always looking for one big thing that's going to give big profit. You know, if you're making 1 naira, Do you understand? But you're making it in 100 million places daily. Daily. Just do the math. That's 30 million per month. That's 360 million per year. Properly invested. In 10 years, that money, there's some money that it just grows by itself. It just grows by itself. It takes wisdom. The problem with some of our people here is that they're changing. God, praise God. You know, because, you know, you don't want to steal money stupidly and no. And many times because they don't have ideas. And they didn't make the money with witty invention. They made it, the witty invention we have is the witty to steal. witty 419. The Nigerian wit 419. Call on Shanua. No. God will change us. He's given us a new name. Amen. Jesus will change us. Are you listening to me? No, we need knowledge of witty inventions. It may be food. It may be just something that God will give you. It may be clothes that everybody is going to like it. Everybody want to. So the thing will just, it will go viral. Economically speaking now. You know, and brother, it's a multiplier effect. You know, so it takes, that's how riches and righteousness. Verse 19. My fruit, I didn't hear you, is better than gold. Yea, than fine gold. This is extremely emphatic. This is, remember, this is a prophetic scripture. Who is my wisdom? But who is wisdom? Jesus. But who is Jesus? You. You've got to connect the chain. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Are you getting it? So it says, my fruit is better than, yea, than fine gold. And my revenue, what's revenue? Revenue is the money that's coming in. In other words, the wisdom that God gives you will cost money to keep coming in. More than gold or silver. And there are anybody who are excited. And they say, I don't preach prosperity message. And now I'm preaching prosperity message. I'm not shouting. Eh? Yeah, like Jesus said, we cried, they did not hear. John the Baptist came fasting and prayed. They said, the Son of Man came drinking. They said, he's a wine bibber. But wisdom is justified of his. Hello, somebody. Am I talking to anybody here? Oh, yes. So, can you imagine? There's a wisdom. Next verse. I lead in the way of righteousness. Can you see the recurring decimal of righteousness? Yes, these are not riches you can do outside righteousness or have outside righteousness. It is righteousness and the character of God is embedded in this level of wisdom. The world has never seen it. I know they have money in the world now. Well, before I finish this message, there's some prophetic scriptures I'm going to give you. By the time when God's wisdom comes to manifestation, it will bring to naught the wisdom of the world. And this thing must happen. You know why? To silence the foolish men. People have been blaspheming God for years. And they laugh at us. You know, that's why sometimes I'm very ashamed. You know, I'm not ashamed of myself, but I'm ashamed of some of the things that some of our people do on television. When I see intelligent rich men, I can imagine what's going on in their minds. So what's wrong with these ones? And is it because of 10 million he's crying? Please write him a check. You see them on television, tell me if you don't, we'll go off television and go off. And stop disgracing God. Amen.
Amen.
Stop disgracing God. They're asking us, where is? I thought your God was a great God. And the maker of heaven and earth.
And his supplier, you're always singing Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Jireh. What's all your Jehovah Jireh? Where is it now? Then you get on television and start playing tricks and gimmicks. All kinds of underhanded methods. You know, the sleight of men. I can't say it better than Paul. In cunning craftiness. You see it all the time. God forbid I do it. Amen. I will stay in my little corner. And I'll continue to pray. And I'll continue to seek God until I get the knowledge of witty inventions. That's what God gave us in small measure in life for. So I don't have to go and start begging anybody. Yes. Now that are begging people and misbehaving all over the whole place. Where is your God? Where is your God? Yes. All the guys in Forbes 50, Forbes 100, they're asking us, where is your God? They're asking us. They're not asking us directly, but they're asking us. It's one of these questions that is in the air. Where is our God? So why should the heathen say? See, Christians, born again, spirit-filled Christians, trying to curry favor from unbelievers. Ah! The Bible says that it is a corrupt thing for the righteous to bow. Thank you. Give me that scripture. For the righteous to bow at the gates. You see that we're lobbying for position. We want to be friends with this one and friend with that one and all of this and all of that. And then, you know, we disgrace our God. We want to find political connection, political correctness, you know, and in doing that, we deny him in actions. It's a prophetic message. Have you found that scripture? It's corrupt. Just put corrupt inside this thing, you bring it out. I think it's in Proverbs. Somewhere in Proverbs. Proverbs 25, 26. Thank you, Pastor Wally. Proverbs 25. We're coming back here. Proverbs 25, 26. Thank you. A righteous man. I didn't hear you. Falling down before the wicked is as a troubled fountain and a corrupt skin. God forbid. Die your hunger than to disgrace your God. And I got news for you. You're not even hungry. Because God says with food and raiment. The problem is you are greedy. But God looks after us. You know, if you just stay quietly wherever God puts you and you're not greedy, you won't have to go and start begging and bowing before the gate of the unbeliever. You find Christian when they have all the Christianity and all the tongue, they just suppress all that want. Because he wants to get favor. You know, God forbid. God forbid. God forbid. God forbid. Hence this message. Go back to Proverbs 28. Am I helping anybody here? Am I inspiring anybody? That's the whole essence of Proverbs, is to inspire us. Hello. Next verse. Proverbs 21. Yes. That I may cause... Oh my God, I love this. That I may cause those that love me, those that love me, those that love me, those that love me. Me who? Me wisdom. I remember here, I love wisdom. You know, most Christians don't love wisdom. I'm not interested in wisdom, but they're all interested in miracle. It's true. Most Christians are not interested in wisdom. They are only interested in the breakthrough. And the material acquisition, they could care less about the wisdom of how to get it. They just want handouts. That I may cause those that love me to what? Inherit what? Substance, and I will do what? Fill their treasures. Now, I got a prophetic word.
These scriptures have not been fulfilled yet. Not even by Solomon. Now, of course, Solomon was very rich. But the Bible says that greater than Solomon is here.
Amen.
Christ in us, the hope of glory. Not even by Solomon. Solomon just touched the surface of it. That's why Jesus... You see, when you read the Bible, you have to read it with... Like I was saying earlier today, and that's why God wants us to have epignosis, with the background of epignosis, of complete knowledge. Otherwise, you'll be seeing the scripture in very, very narrow perspectives. You know, Jesus said, he said that heaven and earth will pass away. My word will not pass away. He said, there is not one jot or tittle of the law that will pass that will not be fulfilled. It's not being fulfilled. He said, I didn't come to destroy the law and the prophets. This is in the prophets. He said, I came to fulfill. These scriptures must be fulfilled. Where we have knowledge of which invention that's going to fill our treasures. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, Pastor, how do you know? This was even written by Solomon. So, under the Holy Ghost, Solomon was writing something that was beyond him. Solomon had riches. But he said, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. Knowledge of witty inventions. Solomon recognized he had just cracked the surface. And he was writing prophetically for a generation to come, which is you and I. Now, mercy, Lord. So, to glorify, the reason for this level of wisdom and riches is to glorify God and to bring to naught, what I mentioned earlier on, the wisdom of this world. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to look at two portions of scripture. First of all, verses 19 and 20, and then from there we'll jump to verse 28. Let's do verse 19 and 20 first. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Now, that's a figurative statement. You don't destroy wisdom. Come on. Do you understand? What it means is that the wisdom of God that's going to be manifested will be so great that it will make this other one look totally irrelevant. Let me use a natural illustration so that you can appreciate what I'm talking about. 200-300 years ago, you understand, to travel from America or from England to Africa here, you would spend 3 months on the ocean. They had boats. They had big boats, you know, with sails. You know, they would have to depend on the wind. They learned the courses on the oceans and all of that. It was fraught with danger because you could hit rocks and all of that. Sometimes they'll make it, sometimes they don't make it. Do you understand? Now, there was a lot of wisdom to be able to make those ships. Do you understand? To set the sails. They had these sextants. They used to read the stars. There was a lot of wisdom there. Do you understand? That was useful at that time. But now, I got a 747. Now has a computer, do you understand? And has a gyroscope inside. Now I can fly on autopilot. You know the exact, I don't put Lagos. It plots the route itself. And I'm having tea. Yeah. Many times when I'm on British Airways, I see them bringing food to the pilots. As I'm eating, the pilot too is eating. As I'm going to feed them, you know, so I'm just right next to the pilot. I'll open the place, you know. Because they know I'm not a terrorist, you see. I just couldn't help that. They're cool with me. You know? And I open the door, you know, take food for the pilot. You see the pilots, you know, you just see and the pilot and the co-pilot, you see them with tea and cake and all that. They're flying the plane. Now, in the light of that wisdom, the wisdom of boats that shaped with sails have come to nothing. Is it clear? It's completely obsolete. When I was a kid, in my teen years, you know, and you know,
transition into my early 20s, you know, in school, you know, we used to use log tables. Some children don't even know what log table is. That's why they are laughing at. And thank you, Lord, like, and slide rule. I remember when I see that UI, you went to the UI bookshop, I went to go and buy slide rule. No, I don't want maybe a rule. What slide rule? It's one, is a ruler that you slide, and then you can use it to multiply. Can you believe it? Amen. I was so good at it. When I was, you know, because I used to, you know, work problems and all of that when I was in Form 4, Form 5, I knew a lot of log table offhand. If you tell me log 2, I could tell you for log 20, log 15. You know, I won't have to look it up because I've done it so many times. That knowledge has come to naught. Because you now have a computer and a calculator. My knowledge of log table now is of no use. They have brought to naught the understanding of log table. Is it clear? That's what the wisdom of God is going to do to the wisdom of the world. Yeah. It is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to what? Nothing. The understanding of the prudent. Next verse. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made what? Foolish. The wisdom of this world. This is prophetic. It hasn't yet come to pass. It's come to pass in a small measure about Jesus and him dying and him being resurrected in that sense. But there's that sense where this incredible photographic memory, incredible language learning ability, incredible artistic, incredible mathematical, incredible musical skill, this fullness of the mind of Christ, when it comes, it will make the wisdom of the world look stupid. Well, not stupid, but it would just, like the log table, it just make it irrelevant. When you're operating at a completely different level. Amen? The computer and the calculator have made log tables and slide rules irrelevant. Nobody uses slide rules anymore. Try manufacturing them, you won't make any money. Who's going to buy a slide rule? Yeah, this slide was very expensive when I entered UI. I was a king. I took my slide rule, people be looking at me. Ah, my slide rule. Yes. It's relevant now. So it's going to be. Am I talking to anybody here? I'm not through yet. Now go to verse 28. You see, the world looks down on the church as at today because of money. When you do your miracle, they know that. You know, they've come to our meetings. Everybody speaks Christianese now. You know what Christianese is? It's the Christian language. They will not be born again. But if you go somewhere, if you say hallelujah, everyone say hallelujah. If you say that, it's not my portion, everyone says it's not my portion. they know our lingua. They can talk the talk. You know? but listen to me here. You know? But God, by manifesting this glory, wisdom, and riches, God will, he will cause the base things of the world and the things which are despised have God chosen. Do I have the right verse? There's a punchline I want to get here. Let me just make sure I'm on the right. Okay, yes. You know, and the things which are not to bring to what? Not the things that are. You see, go on. Next verse. That no flesh should what? The glory of God. So that people can say, aha, the wisdom of God is superior to the wisdom of man. People who serve God are not serving God for nothing. Then serving God will become attractive. Then everybody will now want to come to church. Let us go to Zion, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us his ways. They won't be coming for miracles, though. They'll be coming for wisdom. You know why? Miracles will be so common. The young boys will be doing miracles on the road. You don't have to come to church to get a miracle. The boy next door will heal you. Yes. Spectacular healings will be as common as tongues is now. You know, you can't appreciate that statement because you were not on the earth 100 years ago. If you were here on the earth in 1899, you would never believe that there will be so many people on the earth who are speaking in tongues. But behold, today, hear the word of the Lord, Pastor G. The knowledge of tongues has covered the earth as the waters covered the sea, has it not? Tongues is no longer a mystery. Not everybody does it, but there is hardly any way you can go. You can't say speaking in tongues now, because why are you talking about? Everybody knows, even those who don't speak in tongues. Even non-believers. It wasn't so 30 years ago, but today it's so common that if you speak in tongues now, you're not doing anything that is strange to anybody. Are you listening to me? The knowledge of tongues has covered the earth as the waters cover the sea. Now, in exactly the same way, in another few years' time, spectacular miracles will be as common as tongues is now. So the price will fall. Now you can charge money for it and say, yeah, bring this and bring 5 naira and bring 20 naira and buy Ragoli's bottle and buy a handkerchief and get anointing oil. It's still valuable now. But when the time comes, when God causes the supply to outstrip the demand, the price will fall. Am I talking to anybody? Amen. Oh, it's coming. It's coming. It will be babies that will be healing people. Healing is just the children's bread, bro. It's just the devil that's made this thing look at. It's the children's bread. It is. The 70, the 12, they all go and heal. Go and heal. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. You know? Cast out devils. Freely you have received. Freely give. You won't, there will be no big deal about it. So people won't be coming to church for that, because they can get it on the streets. But they will come to church for the wisdom of God. Next verse. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us what? And next verse. That according as it is written, he's quoted that scripture passage you are quoted for. Let him that boasts, the word glory there is boast, let him glory in the Lord. Today, the people are not glorying in the Lord, though. They are glorying in their own wisdom. But when the wisdom of God shows up in its fullness, then only those who have the wisdom of God will glory. And then they won't glory in themselves, they will glory in God. Is it clear? Oh God, I got to hurry and finish. Am I getting anything out of this? Or are you getting anything out of this? Hallelujah. The purpose of this wisdom is to break, rule, and disciple the nations. We spoke about that during the Bible study. As this comes into manifestation, the wisdom of God, the riches that come from it, will be used to disciple all ethnos. And each of us will have our allotted portion in these things. You know, the Bible says, this gospel of the kingdom will preach unto all nations, then the end will come. And the perfect type for this, the world will be astounded. You know, Pastor Wega mentioned it in glancingly when he was ministering. He said, you know, talking about Moses, you know, mighty in words and deeds. And that's what says, have you noticed among you there's not many mighty? Not many rich? You know why? Most mighty and rich people, they don't think they need God. That's why, hear this, they hear the call but they ignore it. You know what? They think that serving God is beneath them. You know why? They've seen so many bad examples of people who serve God. I don't want to be a ragamuffin like these ones. True. I used to be like that. I can speak for myself personally. look at it. Ragtag. Man, serve God. You know? Now, that's why I gave you that those statistics. Hey, look at the Forbes 100. Hey, you say, you come and preach to them. You say, what's your problem? What's your problem? Yes. Whether we like it or not, let us tell ourselves the truth. Are you listening to me? Until you are moving at the level or beyond them, there's certain respect they will not have for you. The Bible says, yes, thank you, Pastor Wegan. It's in the Ecclesiastes. He said there was a poor wise man inside a city. He said that nobody listened to him because he was poor. Can talk all the grammar you want, but you can match them dollar for dollar and surpass them, then they'll come and say, where is your God? Genesis chapter 41. That's what happened with Pharaoh and Joseph. Genesis chapter 41. Oh God, I got to close. In a few minutes, we will be through. Genesis chapter 41. And we're looking at verses 38 through 40. When Joseph finished talking. See, there is a wisdom that comes from God. The Bible says nobody can gainsay. It will resonate in their hearts. They will know this is God. They will know, they will say this is God. That's what happened with Pharaoh. When in those days it was dreams and all that, but today it will be maths, it will be physics, it will be engineering, it will be medicine, it will be so many areas of human endeavor. When Pharaoh heard Joseph, look at his words. And Pharaoh said, I didn't hear you folks. Unto his servants, can we find? They couldn't do. Can we find such a one as this? A man in whom is the Spirit of God. Holy Ghost had not been revealed at this time. There was no tongues at this time. People weren't filled with the Holy Ghost at this time. This is long before Moses, before the cloud and the Shekinah glory and all of that. How did Pharaoh know that this is God? This is the Holy Ghost. Remember he had his magicians? By the power of Ra, the god of the sun. Egypt was a place full of all kinds of, you know, gods and witchcraft and magic. So the supernatural was not strange to them. This is a person who was schooled in the supernatural. It's a Pharaoh. But when he heard Joseph, he distinguished between the God of Joseph and his gods. He said, in whom the Spirit of God is. Not the Spirit of Ra. Not the Spirit of Ramses. But the Spirit of God who told him. Next verse. And Pharaoh said, this is what they're going to say to you. This is what they're going to say to us. This is prophetic. And Pharaoh said, for as much as God has showed thee all these, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Next verse. Thou shalt be over my house, and according to thy word shall all my people be ruled. And only in the throne will I be greater than thou. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. This is a prophetic word I'm about to give you now. Pharaoh represents the king of the Egyptians. It's a prophetic word. Joseph represents the church that is going to manifest the wisdom and the riches of God. This scripture is what happened between Joseph and Pharaoh, but it's a prophetic type and a prophetic shadow of the world bowing to the church.
So the king of Egypt,
the number one in Forbes,
so to speak, in our own day, the king of the Egyptians, the king of the unbelievers, will now acknowledge and say, your God is the true God. And they will submit to him. Watch it. What Pharaoh said. He said, by thy word shall all my people be ruled. The church will rule the world by the word of God. Because the people in the world, they are kings and they are princes and they are businessmen and they are rich men. We come to submit to the word of God that has come through the prophetic church. That is manifesting the wisdom and the glory of God. You remember even time of Elijah. The Syrians were going to ask Elijah who is going to be the next king. Not in Israel, but in Syria. So Elijah was not only just dealing with what was happening inside Israel. He was dealing with what was happening inside Syria. Remember Ben-Hadad was crying. Say, tell me. Those days are upon us. Pastor, how do you know this? The Bible says, I did not come to destroy the law and the prophets, but to fulfill. Now, how are you going to get this? That one we know already. By the blood, the word, and the spirit, to perfect the love of God in your life. And what I've been saying the last few weeks, and I'm going to repeat it now as I close. Stay ready. Watch and pray always. Watch and pray always. That word God gave us earlier today says, don't be of a hasty heart. Don't be fearful. Behold, your God will come. He's going to come with vengeance on one hand and with a reward. The reward of this spirit without measure on the other. Let us pray. Talk to God. Glory, wisdom, and riches. Everybody say glory, wisdom, and riches. Talk to God. See, we've tried to get riches without wisdom. And we've used wisdom that is very limited because we haven't inherited the glory. So obviously, our riches are limited. That's why we're struggling. We're not poor. Where we eat, we have food, we have raiment. But there are too many things. The Bible calls it the hidden riches of secret places. There's a lot. God has reserved for the church. It's very sad that up till now, 100 years after Pentecost, over 100 years after Pentecost, we're still roaming around the same mountain. But we want to trust God. We want to believe, in the words of E.W. Kenyon, that there are some of us who will break the breakthrough. There must be a manifestation of the Spirit without measure that's going to bring about the fullness of the mind of Christ, a wisdom the world has never seen, that will now create riches that have never been seen. Knowledge of which I will fill their treasures. Riches, durable riches with righteousness. We barely scratch the surface. Thank God for what we have. We're not poor, we're... But certainly, we're certainly not where God has planned for us. Please, brethren, what I've done today is I've thrown the gauntlet. It's a challenge. God has thrown it. What are you guys doing? Will somebody be like David and redeem my name? For why should the heathen say, where is our God? They blaspheme our God. They despise us
and we allow ourselves to be despised like a corrupt spring going to bow at the gates of the wicked so that we can eat. I promised myself years ago, if God can't give it to me, I'm not going to have it. Simple, it's very simple. I just cut my cord according to my size and pray and grow to when I can get it. Because I recognize the prosperity is tied to my spiritual prosperity. So if I want more prosperity, I need more spiritual prosperity. Prosper even as thy soul prosper. I'm not going to take shortcuts. Because when you take shortcuts, you bow at the gates of the wicked.
And we are now a people prepared, made holy and clean by the blood of the Lamb.
Watching and praying
for Jesus' return,
preparing our hearts like a bride getting ready. And we are free from the water of life in the city. You are coming soon, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come.
We are now
a people prepared.